Hello, I am Noah Villaverde, and I am beyond excited to announce that you are listening to the very first episode of the Blank Green Canvas podcast. For the uninitiated, this is a podcast that will follow weekly discussions on film, TV, music, and other real-life fascinating stories. Now, this podcast in particular is centered on the series finale of Game of Thrones, and will be filled with spoilers if you have not seen it yet. So if you have not seen the series finale, please tune out. But if you have, feel free to follow along. Now, this discussion is going to be hosted by me, as will every other episode of the Blank Green Canvas podcast in the future, but it also features fellow friends of mine that are guests, Ram Reyes, Jorge Rodriguez, and Madison Eaton. And they all, it was just a fun time shooting this podcast with them because it gave us an opportunity to discuss our honest thoughts on the final season as a whole and just how it compares to the rest of the series. So it was definitely a lively discussion, to say the least, and I am really excited for you guys to finally listen to the very first episode of the Blank Green Canvas podcast. Hello, and welcome to the first episode of the Blank Green Canvas podcast. I am your host, Noah Villaverde, and with me today is Ram Reyes.
Hey.
Jorge Rodriguez.
I said I was going to say ahoy, so there I said ahoy.
And ahoy. Madison Eaton.
Salutations.
Ooh, wonderful greetings, everybody. So
salutations.
Okay, so today we are going to be discussing the series finale of Game of Thrones, as well as the eighth and final season as a whole. First of all, it's worth noting that last night's finale was
amazing.
Okay, before we get into that, but ratings-wise, okay. In terms of viewership, HBO announced that it broke records. It broke its record of the highest telecast it's ever had. On HBO alone, it made around 13 point, I'm getting the numbers wrong, but 13 point whatever million views on the network. But when you combine that with HBO Go or HBO Now, which all of us used last night when we watched the premiere, it adds up to 19.3 million views. So nice. It just goes to show that the impact that Game of Thrones has. And also, that means 19.3 different units were streaming it. You can't account like how many people were having watch parties. So it could be like even like in the tens of millions of people, almost hundreds of millions of people tuned in last night to watch the series finale of what is definitely one of the biggest television series of all time. So, reactions to say were pretty mixed from critics and fans alike.
It was the most people that have been disappointed.
There's
at least half of those 19 million disappointed.
Okay.
Well, maybe.
All right. So, the episode was entitled The Bells.
And no, it wasn't. What the hell? No,
it wasn't. Well, was Iron Throne. My brain. It's the Iron Throne. The
Do
Iron
over.
Throne.
Do over.
Okay, but. So, the Iron Throne. So, it all led up to this moment. We only had six episodes this season, and now we finally get to the moment to who eventually gets to sit on the Iron Throne, or is there an Iron Throne to be sat on at all after all the terror and destruction that Daenerys Targaryen brought upon King's Landing? So, we're going to begin with Ram, who certainly has opinions on last night's series finale. Yes. And he actually read the leaks beforehand, which
turned
out to be true.
Yeah, they were true. I read it on r/freefolk. Shout out to r/freefolk, the best.
Bro,
the best subreddit.
You messed it up for me because you told me because you couldn't keep it to yourself, and then I was like,
"Oh, you told me. You asked me to tell you."
No, I didn't. I said, okay, yeah, you could tell me since you already told me.
Then he gave you permission.
You consented to the spoilers, and you just didn't believe me. And then when I was right, you're like, why did you tell me it was true? I'm like, I told you it was true.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you read the leaks the day after,
After the bells, I was like, wow, this really sucks, and I want to be not disappointed by the next episode.
Okay, so knowing the leaks and getting into the episode, how did that impact your reaction to the episode?
I liked it. Because I was already, like, bracing myself for Bran to become king. I was like, oh, okay, this is... I read the leaks, I laughed, and I was like, well, this is fucking stupid. And it was actually less stupid when I saw him on screen, so I'm like, all right. So all the scenes were just... which proves to the point that, like, the cinematics, the visuals, and, like, the acting really does carry this bad script.
Absolutely.
To the fuck... Like, it's fucking, like... Like, the... Like, I don't know. What's a good metaphor for this? Like a football metaphor? Like a quarterback just really sucks, but like the whole team is just like...
I was thinking it's like when you're going to a restaurant
and like the food looks, or like when you smell like really good food, it smells so good, and then when you take a bite out of it, it tastes like shit.
Yeah, like the service is great.
It's yeah, like everything no, about everything.
It wasn't all shit.
Not entirely.
Like when you taste it, when you taste it, maybe it's not like bad, but it's
trying
just,
to find
like,
a good metaphor.
It's
for
not fulfilling. It's like, it's, yeah. it's a decent meal. It's like that a tastes, yeah, this tastes okay, but if you're not fulfilled, like you leave the restaurant.
Yeah, I was
and you feel
unsatisfying.
Like,
yeah,
I waited a long time for this. There's a lot of hubbub about it.
I liked it. I thought it was a great ending to the story, man.
There's no way this is a great ending.
How is this
story?
Okay, so.
Well, right, we'll get
before,
to it.
Before we get into
we'll get
that,
to, like,
I like the food analogy that you guys brought up because it's like you go to a fancy restaurant, you pay a lot of money. It's HBO, it's a big cable network. You pay $14.99 a month if you have HBO Go. And I bring up the fancy restaurant metaphor or analogy because I think it's like you go there, the meal is okay, but you leave and you're like, man, I need to go to like In-N-Out or something, get another burger.
No, it's kind of like I've been getting the same meal and it's really great and it keeps getting better. And then at one point, the quality just started dipping. I'm like, what the heck? What did they change? What changes the recipe? Those are changes the recipe. It's like they're rushing it. It's like they didn't even like cook the meat at all.
That seems like the main.
Well, that's some people like it medium rare, bro.
Yeah, but this was served like straight off the fucking cow. It was so rushed, like shit, here you go. And then was it just stressed out with like everything else?
Wow. Well, Ram certainly had a lot of thoughts on the series finale overall. Jorge, who's perhaps the biggest Game of Thrones fan I know.
Also the most brainwashed by
brainwashed. Or more of an apologist. You've actually read the A Song of Ice and Fire books, which we'll get into that part, by the way, in a minute. What did you think overall of the series finale, given that you're a fan of the books, you've read them, and
I thought it was good. Now, there were some things I didn't like about the season overall, but I felt that they could have gone so many other ways with it. And it could have just totally, just made a disservice to the series.
Right.
But I feel like this was a good ending for the series.
Okay, so explain in what ways you found it to be a solid ending for the series overall.
Just the way that, you know, like, how Daenerys died at the hands of Jon.
Right.
The two main characters throughout the whole time. It just, it had to happen, like, this... came to an end to a time where it was like, you know, like two trains crossing and they were gonna crash.
They were forced to crash into each other.
Right.
Yes, they were forced.
That's like what you do. There was never ever like chemistry between them. So from the very start, like
their chemistry was fine.
There was no forced as hell.
It's no John and Ygritte.
There was just no chemistry.
Cersei and Jaime had better chemistry than that.
Which is awkward. They're both couples that are related to each other. And
it's because they met in season 7, so that was already the start of when they were like rushing through everything. So
and also you couldn't help but feel the fan service element because a lot of fans always wanted to see how Jon and Dany would interact if they would ever meet.
I'm gonna have to like put 7 into this whole garbage season because 7 had a lot of the same faults as 8. We just kind of forgot about it. It was 2 years ago. Like, man, they really had 2 years to make this shit, and y'all really fucked up.
I get that. Well,
and I feel bad for the crew. Like, I'm just gonna say this first. Like, cast and crew, like, you guys are doing great, honey. Like all this is so good.
Like, Emmy-worthy stuff.
Like,
right there.
Oh, my God. Like, you guys are so great. Like, I love you all. This is not a reflection of you. You guys just did what you guys had to do with, like, what you guys were written.
Right.
It's like when you get like we're all journalists here. It's like when you're given like a really short, bad story, but we have to fill in space. So we have to like dressy it up with like pictures and graphics and editors that are trying their best to make it look readable. This is what it feels like.
Yeah, like if you couldn't tell, like in particular me, Ram, and Jorge, we've had history. I'm reporting for a newspaper at a local city college, and we've been through many hours of trying to get the paper filled up so there's not a lot of white space, just to give you context there. But I'm moving on to
Maddie. The Fresno City College Rampage, by the way.
Yeah, shout out
out
to the Rampage.
Absolutely. Well, now we go on to Maddie. We're just going to ask.
Yeah, finally, let the woman talk.
Yes, let her talk.
Let her talk.
Please.
No, what I think about the finale, I thought, I don't know, I guess I just left, honestly, I was really disappointed. I just was left, like, not with what happened exactly, I think it's just the delivery. I think it was the delivery of it all that really was.
In what specific ways, like any details?
Like, I just think that I wasn't left, I didn't think it was spectacular. Right. You know what I mean? Even like Danny's death scene, I was like, wow, that felt really like just what?
Wait,
what?
I was gonna like remember when Daenerys was like, "Guy just said I love you," or like. This man, what was that scene with the Dario? It's like talking to
the man Tyrion.
Season 6, right?
Yeah, yeah, season 6, where it's like, he said he loves me.
But I didn't care.
And I felt nothing. That's literally what happened. I'm like, this whole show
at the very
had like
least.
The biggest twist, and I felt nothing.
Yeah, and I felt, yeah, that's what I felt. I felt like.
Was that what she said? Was that
that's what Daenerys said.
To Dario after, you know, they.
To Tyrion, saying that, like, this man, like, loves me so much, would do anything for me. And yeah. I felt nothing.
Yeah. Well, at least he got something out of it, because on the other hand, old Jorah didn't get anything, sadly. Rest in peace, Jorah.
Okay. Rest in peace, Sir Friendzone.
So, yeah, exactly. But in regards to the finale overall, having slept over it and thought of it a bit more, I must say, I think I liked it. You know, like, on its own, story-wise, I thought this makes sense. But for me, the major issue with the whole finale, or just this whole season in general, as we move on to that in a few minutes, my issue with the finale and this whole season is that it just felt like we just had to rush here. It felt like Dave Benioff and D.B. Weiss, like, they had 2 years, right? 2 years to get this all done, only 6 episodes. We thought, oh, cool, that means they're going to have longer times, more budget. And the production value is great. Direction is really good overall with the visuals, and the actors and actresses are all bringing their A game. I just got a shout out to Peter Dinklage, obviously. I will say, for the issues that we had with the episode last night, I felt touched by how Peter Dinklage acted in the moment where he discovered Jaime and Cersei.
Oh,
that moment was really touching, and I give all the credit to Peter Dinklage on that. I mean, he won 3 Emmys for a reason.
Oh yeah. Also, this can we talk about, like, in that scene? I'm like, there was like a part of the thing where there was no rock over it. I'm like,
right?
Could have just moved over there, right?
Right.
You could have just moved like 20 feet to the left.
Sure.
And then you would have survived.
There was no way out.
Sure.
They were trying to find a way out, and that's where they didn't get... Did you not see the freaking...
But did you not see the episode that we watched? There was literally where there was, like... Clearly nothing was, like... Well, like, was caved in.
That part, to me, their ending was also very unsatisfying. Also, that I felt...
Oh, yeah. Their ending sucks.
Both of their endings. Like, Jaime's arc. Okay, so about Jaime's
trash.
It seemed like it was headed somewhere. That was one of the most well-praised arcs in the whole series, Jaime.
But throughout the whole time, and he said, "I want to die in the arms of the woman I love."
Sure, I understand
it. That was the thing. And he only really loved one woman. Yeah, he had affection for Brienne, but he wasn't his love. It wasn't the love of his life.
So the lesson
is
that...
I kind of disagree with that. Because, like, I feel like what they had in the beginning, it was love. It was like, this tragic love story that they could never be together. They could never be together. And then just, like, shit on it at the very end. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Would you guys agree that Cersei's death was just underwhelming given
the
nature of
the
series?
Yeah, she was the baddest bitch in Westeros, and she died by bricks.
She deserved, like, a bad bitch death. Like
she deserved,
yeah,
like,
she deserved, like, an execution.
And even if it was an execution, it would have been a blaze of glory for her, because it was like, yes, I did all I did, okay, kill me. It's
like,
fine.
They even shit on Cersei's character. At the end of it, I'm like,
I mean, going on seriously, we had to really praise Lena Headey.
It was a great performance, but I'm like, man, you guys are really, like, ruining her character.
Like, she got a great paycheck.
She did nothing. She did nothing at the end.
She really did nothing.
She just stood in nice, beautiful scenery and
dude,
had
okay.
some wine
also,
every episode or whatever.
Dude, also, Daenerys and Sande didn't even have a conversation this season. So why does she even give a shit about her death? Like, not once did they have a conversation in this season.
It subverted our expectations.
I'm subverted.
Oh, that's a common criticism that's been used for a lot of recent geek properties. It's been often used in arguments for films like The Last Jedi or other stuff like there. We're not going to get into Star Wars talk because I can...
Oh, no, Star Wars has to be... Oh, some fucking way. Oh, sorry. Some effing way Star Wars gets involved in this garbage. Because, like, I'm pretty sure David Weiss or whatever, David
D&D.
Benioff and... D.B. Weiss really did shortchange us just so they could work on Star Wars.
They were eager to finish.
They wanted to work on Star Wars, so they'd cut Game of Thrones short. I mean, like, that's just, like, what the heck?
That's definitely an issue. Like, yeah. Going back...
So they can go and ruin Star Wars, too.
Yeah, so they can ruin Star Wars, which even is already more, ruined, so than, whatever. Yeah,
okay, that's another subject for another time. I definitely get animated when it comes to Star Wars.
But, like, they wanted to, like, work on it, so yeah, they just literally, like, F this, we're just gonna quickly go... You could feel it. You could feel it in the season that they wanted to be over.
And it's worth noting that D&D, they mentioned that when the finale was going to air, they would stay away from the internet and get really drunk to avoid the reactions from fans. And I guess in a lot of ways, they kind of made the right decision.
Also, Dave Benioff wrote X-Men Origins Wolverine. So why did we let this guy work
on this? How did I not know that? Wow.
Why did we let him work on this?
Bro, he also wrote Troy.
Yeah, so I think the piece of shit of Dave, of X-Men Origins kind of balances out.
I don't think it was that bad. Like, I don't think the writing was that bad. Yes, there were some shitty things that happened.
No. Listen. Because the thing is that you can tell. I was actually talking to Rue about this a few weeks ago.
I do agree that they were rushed.
So, like, I feel like this season feels very impersonal. Like, we get, in all the other seasons, even the bad ones, we get this really... in-depth look at these characters and their development and their relationships with each other. And in this, there was none of that. So that's why, like, this that felt so disappointing in the end. At the end, it felt flat. Because it's just, like, these big scenes where they're all together, but it's really, like... And even, like, the scenes where, like, I was supposed to feel warm feelings, I'm like, it just feels like there's nothing there. It feels empty. It feels hollow to me.
Even on the finale
when they're all sitting at the council table.
Oh man, that was so stupid.
It should have felt epic. It should have felt like it's built up to this moment, and it just kind of feels like, wasn't there that line with Tyrion where he's just questioning them? You know, we are the most powerful people in all of Westeros. If we wanted to choose a leader, just choose one. And to me, line felt like the writers was being meta, just saying, you know what, we have the power.
So there was like jokes that didn't need to be in it, like when Sam was like, what if we had democracy? And then everybody laughed. Like, why did you write this
in here? I'll admit, I kind of chuckled at that moment.
Why did you write this in here?
Bro, they went full Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace sucks.
The same week.
I like Phantom Menace, all right?
Oh, God. Okay, Jorge, also, like, when Daenerys is, like, enthroned, I'm like, I'm gonna free everybody with my power. Come join me. And I'm like, is this... Episode 3, I have brought peace and prosperity to my new empire. I'm like, what the heck?
And then you mentioned how basically you felt more convinced by Anakin's turn than you did.
Yeah, Anakin had a better turn to evil than freaking Daenerys. Yeah,
I mean, a lot could be said about George Lucas, but he always had a right structure.
But Daenerys was always evil.
No, she was always evil. I explained it to you before.
The whole thing was about, like, her and her journey, right?
Right.
How she went from being, like, sold into some low...
I'm about to go crazy right now.
Okay, so what do you mean by, like, she was always evil? Was it because of her dad? Like, the whole Mad King and how it's like you can't escape your family's legacy or something?
Her journey herself. Like, when she left the city of Carr, she had everybody there killed, right? By the Jarkin took everything and then they got out.
She had the people that stole her dragons killed.
Yeah, but even the ones that were innocent or were only helping, right? So the same thing with the masters. I was telling Ren. The same thing with the masters at Jun Kai. She killed all the masters, even the ones that weren't against her completely. She had no...
If you couldn't watch, Maddie actually just stepped out of her chair just to...
Then in Marine,
I take my jacket off. It's getting hot.
She killed the masters.
Sure, that's what you did.
She killed the masters that crucified even those that weren't really there. Like the
You're looking at this like these are all people from a group with power.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Exactly. You're gonna kill people in power.
There was a thin line, and she crossed it.
No, she didn't.
There was a thin line there. If you're passively supporting like a structure that's like evil, then you're kind of complicit in it. So, and she's breaking the wheel.
And that's what plays into why Tyrion just kind of gave up and just said, hey, he just threw away his badge, saying, you know what, I can't support
this. Yeah, because like she actually crossed a real line where she killed innocent. Like, she killed zero slaves.
Yeah.
Zero slaves.
Yeah.
And remember that one time that her dragon killed a kid, an innocent kid?
You really tell me this person who spent, like, I don't know, like, a whole episode of two, like, crying, and, like, locked up her dragons.
She locked up the dragons. She locked up the dragons that didn't even...
They didn't even do anything.
Didn't even burn the child.
You're going to tell me that Daenerys is going to burn children within a matter of, like, an episode.
Exactly. Because the thing is that she kills all the slave masters. She's like, all of them have to go. Wasn't there a time passage between
4 and 5? You know, like, how much time passed between
those last... Daenerys literally sacrificed all of her troops to help the North. She could have, like, went to the King's Landing to, like, get the throne, but she sacrificed her own army to help the North. I'm like, this person lost everything.
It wasn't slaves that she was saving. It was people that liked her.
I know, but with a person who was evil,
people that weren't with her.
Okay.
Well, she didn't care for them. Who wasn't with her?
The Northmen.
Yeah, but Jon Snow was with her.
But why would
she was doing it for Jon Snow?
Why would an evil person sacrifice half her troops to gain the one thing she's always wanted in her life, was the Iron Throne. Literally the one thing she wanted from the very beginning, the Iron Throne. She stopped doing that to help the North.
Yeah, she could have literally not done that.
If she was really that evil, she would have gone straight to Westeros.
Dude, because Jon Snow showed her the signs of the cave, bro. It was Jon Snow.
Wow.
Jon Snow convinced her of actually going to the North. That was Jon Snow.
Daenerys had some good in her. Daenerys and Cersei were the same two people, but Daenerys decided to be a good person. Guess me, she's not evil.
No, she was a good person to those who were with her, to those who were like alliance with her. Not to those that didn't care for her, not to those that didn't like her.
Wait a second. Because now we're getting into this whole thing about the same thing that the show writers mentioned, which I also have to say something about those freaking behind the scenes episodes. Why do you have to explain that?
Yeah, that's making bad decisions.
But that's something I've always had issue with when it comes to creators and their art, wherever they have to project things onto something there without just letting the audience take the information that they got already. I mean, I get it. They wanted to have a commentary on that. You know, they usually do that with audio commentary. But
the
commentary
is supposed to further the understanding. Yeah. HBO does that in all of their series. What I wanted to say was
that... Did they do it with Barry?
Maybe. Wait, let her...
Yeah, they do it with Barry.
No, but what I wanted to say... What I
want
to say.
Oh, God. That happens. Like, look, the show has brought, especially this last season, has brought a lot of passion out of all of us. Let's discuss a certain plot point in the final episode. So we briefly touched on Daenerys'
death. What I wanted to say was that, now that comes to this perspective, what they said in that behind the scenes was that it's disturbing how she handles her enemies. But I'm saying that how she handles her enemies is how any... Oh, about to get feminist right now. Is how any male ruler would handle their enemies. If they're really, think about the Dothraki. Think about where she came from. She married the Dothraki, right? Yeah. She married Khal Drogo, and that is how they dealt with things. And she learned from that. And that is how it is. It's very, to her, it is very black and white. To her, it is very like, I stand for what's good and. I don't understand, like, why... I guess the thing I don't understand...
I know what you're saying. Like, it was very black and white in that innocent people will always be innocent people. Will always be innocent people.
Yeah. So I don't understand...
Like, it's so black and white that, like, only the people in power will die. But in this case, she's like, oh, fuck that. Everyone's gonna die.
Right.
I just don't see how, like, that... Where that comes from. Like, I don't understand how people are... I don't know. I don't get how people are judging her for, like,
what
her
mental
decisions.
Gymnastics do we have to do to get to that point?
No, what you're saying is right.
But that's what makes tyrants tyrants. And that's what makes them go over the edge.
We're talking about, like, the black and white... That she will never kill innocent people. She will never.
Whenever she ended up doing so, she felt guilt, like, throughout
the series.
Literally,
the characteristic that Daenerys has always projected for at least... 7 seasons. And then we just throw that out in the last season?
That was people who loved her. That was people who said she was their savior.
Innocent.
She was their savior.
But she had to gain that from them.
These people weren't their...
But there was no... There wasn't even any scenes there. There wasn't even any many scenes that like that booed her. There was literally no scenes that showed that. There was no scenes of showing the people of King's Landing being like impetuous or just like angry at her. Maybe like kind of like when Tyrion was in that like court. Maybe if a scene was like that, like we could see the faces of the people. But all I see were people running away. That's all I could see.
And burning to a crisp.
Yeah, that's all I could see. Like, there was no like visual, no conversation to show that the people of King's Landing hated her. There was literally nothing.
Skeptical. Like, even something like that, you know, like they barely even.
The only time that happened was in Winterfell, but the Winterfell didn't die.
Yeah.
Right.
So why would I assume that the people of Winterfell felt the same in King's Landing when they're two different
people? Northerners are just naturally distrusting. That makes sense. Like, they you need to earn their trust.
Like, yeah, we saw that, especially with Sansa's case. You know, like, she, like, right from the beginning, she was always skeptical of Dany because, you know, given, like, she even talked trash on Jon in regards to that, like, of his unwavering trust of Dany.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring up, you know, speaking of which, I wanted to bring up specifically the way we led up to the moment in which Jon kills Dany. Because, in theory, I kind of like the idea that they were trying to go for.
Oh, yeah. I
symbolically,
yeah.
It makes sense. It felt very Shakespearean, but my issue
but, like,
with that is that it's
Shakespearean.
So abrupt. It's so abrupt.
Like,
it's
elementary like, Shakespearean.
Yeah.
Like, they watched Romeo and Juliet, like, oh, let's do that one.
Yeah, it's like, you have
I wish I could have seen him actually stabbing her.
I know.
Yeah.
Why didn't they actually show it?
I don't
like,
know.
What, they
because
wanted
they kind of forgot.
Because,
no,
like, it would have been, I feel like it would have been, like, a much better scene if
no, the leak said the, what the leak said that she kneels down and like no no he kneels down and then feels her what's it called, shows his loyalty and then like stabs her as she like as he stood up, but I guess that didn't happen.
That's
but I didn't know that Drogon was gonna melt the Iron Throne. Which
yeah,
made...
poor Dany. She doesn't even get to sit on it for like a moment. No one else gets to sit on the throne. It's gone at this point.
Very symbolic, as a she's so close.
Whoa, yeah. Far. This like whole episode was full of like baby's first symbolism.
Oh.
Everyone's like, ooh, you see that? The dragon wings were in his bird.
Okay, I'll admit that was a cool. That was a great visual. I'll give it that. Just in terms of like a visual splendor of it all, I was like, oh, that's
cool. Oh, get it? She's a dragon. I'm like, we could have done
was
this.
Cool. It was a cool shot, but not the coolest.
Yeah, it was a cool shot, but like people are thinking that's like fucking
the best shot of the
you
whole
know,
movie.
Like
crazy.
That tweet that came out earlier saying this Thank shot you. Should be shown in all film classes. And
I'm like,
oh, like
cool, get it? She's a dragon.
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
cool. that's those are.
No,
our
but on that scene, I like that Drummond didn't just kill Jon.
Yeah. That
also,
was
where is Drogon now? He just
Who
flew
cares?
Off. Like just. Else going nowhere.
She's going.
Yeah,
he flew off to go find Mira.
Bruh, honestly, that scene when Drogon was like trying to like pet.
Dude,
like,
that was so sad.
I was like, damn,
that
if this.
Literally so
if we
sad.
Just led up to this moment way better, I would have actually died.
I think that's
cried.
The root issue of it all.
Cried.
Like, we just. We just got here way too fast. I got whipped.
Yeah, we got way too fast here. Just like. I see the ending destination. Like, the finale had like more shit in between.
Yeah.
I would have been fine with it, actually. I'm like, okay, this is
okay.
Maybe a year later, not just a few weeks later.
Yeah,
or something
yeah but
like
yeah.
Show the fallout of everything else, like without a leader in power for like a year or two, even. That would have been an interesting take.
Yeah, what the hell was the time skip between like
a few weeks?
Was it weeks?
Maybe a month.
It's like summer. Like
yeah.
It looks like summer. I'm like, wow, winter really came and gone.
Well, remember,
in, like
that was the snow. That was ash.
Like, I know,
ash,
but like
you know, so.
The whole winter is coming thing
yeah.
was like.
Does
that
it
was
snow?
Of no consequence.
No.
Does it snow in King's Landing?
Yeah, it does.
It does.
Because I remember
but,
the end of season 6
yeah,
or set, but, end of season 7. It,
well, the thing was...
I don't remember because it was so long ago.
Well, you know, it was like the...
No,
there's 73 episodes. There's a lot of information to
the
take.
The thing was that it snows in the winter has been going on since the start of season 7.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But it definitely was not
going on. We kind
of
forgot about
winter.
But
I forgot the winter was.
The reason why it was the longest winter, it was because of the long night.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It was not the longest winter.
Well.
Oh, back then? Yeah,
that's
well,
what
Ned Stark really, like, warned us for winter is coming for no reason, I guess.
Okay, that's another thing that I wanted to bring up. Is they put, you know, one of the things that I really love about Game of Thrones is, like, the supernatural element like all the magic and all that stuff.
I love it.
Oh my god. But can we talk about Bran?
But wait, in a moment. But they make it such an integral part of like the plot. And then
none of that shit.
But it never even mattered in the end. Because it's kind of like, okay, but then who's the real bad guy? Like, is it really like these supernatural stuff, or is it like the evil man?
I think the Night King was trying to save us from Bran. I think Night King was actually the hero.
Night King was a hero?
The Night King was the actual hero.
Well, the Night King and the White Walkers is always taken as an allegory on like, climate change and how, like, hey, you know,
tribalism. There's no message in Game of Thrones. Why are you looking into it too much? That's the message.
Well, it's what I look...
Isn't that the message? There's no message, you idiots.
Yeah, you're just looking into it too much, bro.
Well, I always...
Yeah, talk. It's like every book has like no meaning to it.
Well, it's not necessarily what they were going for, but it's what a lot of people, including myself, has taken
from it. Yeah, everyone in Christianity was looking into the Bible too much. How about you guys read a different book?
All right, that's pretty... Okay. all right. That's a funny comment, man. But in regards to this, let's talk about the council scene and the choosing of who was going to sit on the throne or whatever throne is left.
Trash.
You know? So we get everybody there. You know, Yara's back.
It was an epic fail for feminism.
Robin Aaron.
Epic fail for feminism. Yeah,
Robin Aaron was
Yeah, so everyone, they get everybody back, went back in the circle and everything else to discuss it, and I brought up the whole moment where Tyrion just goes, like, let's just choose somebody, which was probably what D&D thought to themselves when they were writing it.
But they left him in chains for some reason. He was still bound.
Also, why was Sam there? Wasn't there other higher ranking maesters?
No, because at that time, he was the Lord of the Reach.
Samwell Tarly?
Yeah.
No.
Was he Lord of the Reach?
No. No way.
When the fuck did that happen?
Yeah, right before. Yeah.
Before
they made him, he was the only one with the of the Reach.
Sam?
Yes.
But he took the black.
Okay, who else was there from the Reach?
Nobody. Everybody died.
And he was the one from the Reach, representing the Reach.
Huh. That makes no sense.
Okay, so...
How does it make no sense?
Like, literally, the maesters couldn't have sent, like, the fucking... What was that one actor? The really big one. The archmaester. Whatever. The other maester. Yeah, whatever that guy was.
I forgot his name.
Like, he's really not that important in, like, the whole grand scheme of, like, the political... political parties.
Okay. I mean, you could also say that he was there because he wanted to log in. It's a historic moment.
I guess. But, like...
is just the biggest history...
Didn't he, like, disobey, like, the maesters?
He did. Yeah.
So why would they send him to go there?
He got his chain back. He was chained at the end of
okay,
the...
Okay, so... Know,
whatever.
And the king made him...
Who cares?
Who was it again that stood up to offer, like, hey, I think I should lead? Who was it?
Oh, that was Edmure.
Was that
Edmure? Of course it was.
Wow, they were dedicated at least like 2 minutes to that.
And then Sansa was like, "Yeah, sit down." You know,
they really dedicated all these like really shitty jokes.
That was the Yas Queen moment.
I was right there with her. Like, yeah, just sit down. We don't care about.
There's so many bad jokes that were like, we could have juiced up.
And then
like, they literally did not have to make Edmure get up.
I love those jokes, bro.
It felt like
I know, but we literally already have a short season. Why are we wasting?
Like, hey, we'll give you a moment here. Just enjoy it. Oh, and speaking of the council scene, how about that water bottle though? Oh,
I didn't even notice it.
It was a water bottle. I think it was...
I didn't notice the cup. And you could say that I'm...
Well, it's because we were focused on the episode itself, but when you look at it, it's like, it's just kind of...
I feel like the castle is trying to like, sabotage it.
Yeah, but then it all leads up to Tyrion basically saying, how about Bran the Broken?
Dumb.
That was actually really super dumb. That was so dumb.
Why did you
think especially with his like explanation of like...
Yeah.
The best he has a great story. He has the best story of all of us. I'm like, literally, there's like... Everybody in that room had a better story
than
Bran.
Much more interesting story. So much so that...
Literally, there's a guy that died and got revived.
Bran was absent from all of season 5. Yeah. Remember that?
Great story, man.
Yeah, and then it ends with like, why did you think I come all this way?
Okay, that was even more like suspicious because that means that Bran manipulated the whole season to get him to be the
Night King was protecting us from Bran, bro.
Yeah.
I love your reaction, by the way, when we were watching it last night when Tyrion came up and just started thinking about mentioning Bran and you just were audibly
laughing. It's like, because the leaks are right. And I'm like, oh my god. Because
you read it.
This is real.
Because you read it.
So good.
Like, it just didn't feel earned. Like, I agree with you guys there. It's like, it just didn't feel earned.
It made no sense. He said
also,
zero lines.
All Bran did was just sit down and just say some, I don't know what, like, diatribes or
and
whatever.
And that somehow makes him worthy of being king? That somehow literally made no sense.
They really could have done something cool with Bran, right? They really could have done something really fascinating, showcase the true nature of his powers as a three-eyed
raven. There was no power. No. All he did was like, remember, this is actually the design.
Also, my biggest issue, they don't show, there was a lot of interesting visuals they showcased when he first learned how to beat the three-eyed raven from Max von Sydow back 2 seasons ago. There were so many cool visual exercises they could have used to showcase the power of the three-eyed raven this season. If anything, you should have done it this season. Like, yeah, visually,
that's
it would have been incredible.
About
so many, like, times, like,
he didn't use warging.
Like, he used zero warging for, like, the one time he used it was to go into birds to do nothing. We never got an explanation why he did that. Other than, like, oh, he was looking to look at the Nike. Which, who did he tell?
Yes.
He was scouting, but who did he tell? Nobody!
Yes, and it, okay, so,
we kind of forgot. We kind of forgot about that.
Like, he could have used warging. Like, look at how warging was, like, a thing in, like, the past season to protect himself.
Right.
Literally did zero warging in this season.
Yep.
Did nothing to protect
himself.
Then
why does he have
the
power?
Why is he out of the powers?
Then why does he have
the power? That's a huge issue in regards to how, like, D&D just seemed to have rushed the whole writing with the series finale and the whole season in general, which leads us to, okay, so Bran is now the king of all of Westeros on his nice rolling throne of his own. And now that leads to old Jon Snow. Oh, poor Aegon Targaryen.
Well, he got wrecked.
He ends up going back to where they start. So I guess the whole theme, especially with the Starks, is that you just go back to where you're meant to be or where you started in a lot of ways. You know, like we go to Jon, right? He just goes back to what he's been doing like from the first season.
Dude, Jon is like, fuck, it just sucks. Like, what's the point? What was the point of that?
Yeah, that was.
It would have been cliche. It would have been cliched, yes, if he ended up on the throne. But I would have preferred that, honestly, because I know it's like a typical like fan servicey thing. But given the nature of him, how it would have been nice thematically, how he wasn't a bastard this whole time. He was actually the true heir, and he decided to say, you know what? I don't want to be a leader, but it's the right thing to do.
They should have just sent them to Dragonstone instead. I felt like that would have been...
Okay, also, the only reason why he got sent to the Black was because Grey Worm was mad at him. But then Grey Worm leaves.
Grey Worm leaves.
So who cares who...
And where does he go off again? Where does Grey Worm go?
North.
North. He's in North, right.
North.
North.
But, well, the League said he's going back to Essos to, like, liberate the slave cities. But that didn't get put in there.
He went back to Nath.
No. To die by the toxic butterflies. Literally, she says, like, yeah, the people of Noth have a immunity to the toxic butterflies. And I'm like, okay, Grey Worm, are you going there to die? Okay, cool.
He's lost
but
his Sunday.
Anyways,
he has no purpose.
Literally, the only reason why Jon was sent to the Black was an agreement with Grey Worm. Only Grey Worm. But guess who the fuck leaves? Grey Worm. So what is stopping...
Hey. Hey, he has to fulfill his destiny, bro.
Oh my god, literally Sansa could be like, okay, you can just stay in Winterfell, no one's gonna know. That's it. Like, he doesn't have to go up north for nothing. It's just like, dude, the logic makes no sense.
He's an honorable man.
Just try not to think too hard about it.
Yeah, and
that's what they're saying. Just don't think too hard. Just consume this fucking show and ask zero questions.
And then obviously Arya goes. Basically,
you get mad when you ask questions, bro. Like if you don't ask questions, you don't get mad and you enjoy it.
Yeah, just fucking blindly consume.
Yeah,
consume media. I'm just gonna consume media and be unquestionable to it.
Why do you describe most Americans right now?
Yeah, it's like, don't ask questions. Like, anything thought-provoking, don't ask questions, even though this series was built on about thought-provoking, like, questions.
Yeah,
and then, so I bring up Arya, you know, she's going to go discover America or something like that. And then Sansa, of course, she's now Queen of the North. You know, so the Starks,
cool.
They all
cool
go back to where it's... Yeah, I'm okay with that, it's still right.
Best moment was when Ghost came out. I know it's like...
Oh, yeah, like, Graham, bring up that moment, because
God.
You thought that's what redeemed
my God.
The episode for you.
That was the only redeeming quality of, like, that episode. Or the whole season. I was like, oh, finally John pet the dog. Thank God.
I mean, did you see that? Like, you know that famous bar meme where everyone in the bar is cheering?
Oh, yeah,
you know,
I've seen
that.
They re-screened
that scene, and then everyone was cheering that he finally pet Ghost because he didn't get to pet Ghost 2 episodes ago. and everybody had a big uproar.
Wait, that was only two episodes ago? Jesus Christ.
It feels like forever ago at this point.
It felt like forever ago, bro.
You know, but yeah, so there's that. And then, of course, like, let's go to the moment where, you know, Tyrion is, like, setting up the chairs, you know, the council that they have there.
What the hell?
Dumb as hell.
Literally, Tyrion's last line is that running joke about the honeycomb and the jackass going to the brothel. And we never got to hear the punchline to. He teased it twice in the past. Once
three
he was
times. Yeah, and I'm like, the scene, the gist of what I got from that scene was like, okay, these jokes are dumb. We didn't really need to dedicate this
like
much
amount
of time for this when we could have like had an extended
death scene.
That's what
I mean. That's also what I mean by like, it's so it feels so empty. Like they're trying at it, but it just falls flat.
And also,
like, what is this?
The cycle continues. So... There was already like seeds of like
the whole thing with full circle descent. Doesn't also apply just to the Starks, but also the Jaime.
Oh yeah, there is no arcs. Like the whole message I'm getting from the show is like there are no arcs.
I mean,
no growth.
I'll say this much:
there is no change.
One character, and I saw this from a video from Cosmonaut Variety Hour.
Oh, did you watch it already?
Yeah, he mentioned
that.
Yeah, he mentioned that Theon was probably the only character this season that had a good arc.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
His arc was perfect.
He redeemed, like he was a bad guy. Then he grew as a person, and he died when he needed to.
Yeah, and it was the right call. You know, like
he did the right thing and died.
Cool. Okay,
I feel like
so
that died had like
so,
a good arc.
Right. Yeah. So we're in the home stretch right now.
Oh, died home. Oh no, he didn't have a. Clegane Bowl was kind of dumb. I'm thinking about it now.
I liked Clegane Bowl.
I didn't like
Clegane
Bowl.
I'll give it this. I liked Clegane Bowl.
How? What?
I thought it was
there was
epic.
Really no reason
because,
for it to happen.
Like, there's been a lot of hype about it.
Well, there was a reason for it to happen other than hype. And I'm like, wait, it doesn't really make sense for him to
even
fight him anymore.
It didn't even live up to the hype.
Like, okay, well, that and like, it doesn't really make sense for him to even fight him anymore because like, Clegane or Sand or what's the mountain?
Sand. Okay, the mountain
Gregor?
Is
Gregor Clegane is basically dead. So he was fighting a zombie.
Right.
And he already kind of like redeemed himself already, and then that kind of just ruined it because like, oh, I'm just gonna continue fighting the ghosts of something that didn't need to be done. Like he already grew as a person. Why does he need to fight his brother when his brother is basically dead?
Right.
It was a zombie.
Right.
He's fighting a zombie.
Yeah, sure.
That's true.
Okay, so
but he never grew as a person. What do you mean he grew as a person?
Yes, he did.
How?
Are you talking about
the
hound?
The
after
the hound absolutely grew. Yeah.
How? How did he grow as a person?
Yeah, absolutely grew.
Just because he started following the Lord of Light or whatever, those guys.
That last moment with Arya though, like where
that was telling him, don't be like me.
Yeah, but still,
don't be like me. Don't be in.
It's still
don't follow his path.
Okay,
don't
what did you
want
to see? You want to see him be completely good and then turn to good boy, the hound, good boy Sandor
Clegane? No, that's what he was doing now.
I don't understand.
He was already like
had growth.
He's doing thing. That's like growth already. He was already doing the right thing. That doesn't mean like you have to discount that.
But
like,
he was doing the right thing from the beginning, from like season two. After the Blackwater, he was doing the right thing.
Yeah, but so why
did he abandoned his post because he just couldn't take it anymore at Blackwater, remember?
Yeah, he
But he went over to save Sansa, and Sansa didn't want to leave.
So that's what I'm saying. It's not an arc, it's a circle, because he went back to the mountain.
He went back to the mountain because that was the only thing he was... That was his arc.
Why does...
He needed to go back and finish that... He finished his brother.
The mountain is dead. They didn't even have a meaningful conversation. There was nothing.
All right, so let's get to...
Like,
so,
he didn't even conquer his fear of fire.
So we're in the home stretch
right
now.
I'm right.
In terms of the series.
Why? You ask zero questions about the show. You're just consuming it like verbatim.
Okay, Ram. Okay, so we're in the home stretch in terms of the series finale element. Let's just talk about the whole season as a whole, just summing it up. Let's be nice to the season. Let's talk about some of our favorite moments of the season. Maybe our favorite episode,
when it
the six
ended.
Episodes.
That was my favorite.
That was counterproductive.
Let's be legitimately good stuff, okay? Legitimately good stuff that we liked during the season.
The
like
credits
the
are rolling.
Episode two was good.
I love those first two episodes. I did.
First one was alright.
Well, it's the calm before the storm, kind of.
Oh
you know,
my god.
Episode two, I like episode three. I was underwhelmed.
Do you guys feel like the whole battle of Winterfell was just darkly filmed like everybody else felt?
Was
I,
all right.
I actually did not think that.
Right.
No, I thought it was good because it was a night battle. What do you want him to do?
I get
do?
It.
Like,
I mean, that image of all the Dothraki and the fire and everything else
cool.
being extinguished,
awesome.
That is a powerful image and everything else.
That's
I mean,
awesome.
I think it was because we were watching it on streaming.
They said the Dothraki first.
You know, if we were watching it on like Blu-ray, a disc or something, it would probably look even better overall. You know, I mean, it was well shot even though it was dark.
Wait, I have a gripe. You're on Greyjoy killing, air quotes, Jaime Lannister. Jaime Lannister is the baddest ass in Westeros.
Well, he only had one hand, though.
But even with his one hand, he fought by himself during the Battle of Winterfell, only to get fucked up by Euron Greyjoy.
Yeah. Euron Greyjoy was like the shittiest character ever made. Like, why do you...
They just try to emphasize Euron by making him a bigger personality. But he didn't kill him. They try to...
The bricks killed him.
Yeah, but like I said, like
I know, but you know what I mean. Like,
also,
that whole scene was so stupid.
When like Sansa was like, "Oh, the North will be independent," I'm like, "Why didn't Yara just be like, oh, the Iron Islands will be independent?"
Here.
I'm like,
yeah. That would have made sense. You know, would have played into
wasn't that
like,
her whole point was like so
it
the Iron
played
Islands
into the whole
be...
theme of like the strong women in the series. Which, by the way, speaking of the strong women element, I took and a lot of people took issue with what a line that Sansa mentioned in terms of like her trauma. Ramsay and all that, saying if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be where I am. I'm sorry, that is flimsy. That is problematic. I hate using that term sometimes because it's so overused, but it's true. Like that moment, I think it was episode 2, where she just kind of said,
"Yeah, when she was talking to Sandor."
Yeah, she's saying, you know, if none of that happened, I wouldn't be where I am. I mean, I get what they were trying to go for, saying you could move on from your past trauma and you could become stronger by dealing with it, but the way that was executed in that dialogue in particular, that just rubbed me the wrong
really?
Way.
Really? Yeah. I didn't think that.
Well, like,
I thought that it was very... She's just saying that... I don't know. I mean, I see why people have a problem with it, but for me, I didn't think that...
So would you say you thought what it was trying to go for, it made sense for you, like her trying to move on from the past trauma, from like Ramsay or like Joffrey?
She's saying
and
that
everything else.
I mean, think of where she was before. I mean, look, I'm saying that I think that she kind of had a point. I mean, sometimes we have to learn hard lessons. It's hard lessons.
Like, I don't have an issue with the notion or the sentiment of what she's trying to go for. I think I just have issue with, like, how it was executed in the dialogue overall. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody who's a victim of something like that that's able to, you know, succeed or get stronger despite the irreparable damage that might have happened to you.
Yeah.
That is something that should be discussed, obviously, and is something that's respectable and shows a strength, especially given the times we're in right now with, like, you know, a lot of women coming out with their own stories of, you know, abuse and trauma. I knew what they were trying to go for, and I thought it was almost there, but it just rubbed me the wrong way in terms of dialogue. But okay, so I will say this much. I did like those first two episodes quite a bit. I just felt like even episode 2, which felt very fan servicey in terms of like getting certain characters together around the campfire, you know, Tyrion, Jaime, Brienne, Pod, Davos. I'm happy Davos survived. I love Davos. Seeing them together, like making their own breakfast club. Tormund, of course. Oh, poor Tormund. He never got a chance to be with Brienne, even after Jaime died. Here, just to wrap this all up overall, we're in the closing stretch now with this whole discussion on Game of Thrones, this whole series, last season. Here's the issue. This is probably the biggest...
Who says there is an issue?
Okay, Jorge. This is the biggest series maybe of the decade in terms of blockbuster status and like the cultural thing. Because we're in the age of streaming, you know, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, they're releasing shows by the season, like an album. You know, like they're releasing it all at once. There used to be this thing called like the water cooler, where after, like on Monday when you get to work or something, you would discuss what happened on a show last night. Lost was a show that had that. That ended very polarizingly, you know.
So did Dexter.
Dexter had
I was looking at Dexter's ratings.
The Sopranos,
season, and it had pretty high ratings throughout the whole season 8, and then the last episode had like a 4.9.
Yeah, that's a notorious series finale. But like, that's the thing, Game of Thrones, it shows the power of the show and how big it became. It became a cultural phenomenon of its own. It became one of the last big series that people watched weekly every time an episode came out and discussed in the water cooler, because everybody's now used to just watching everything at once, you know, like shows on Netflix, you know, like, or like I mentioned, Amazon or Hulu, anything like, you know, Stranger Things is going to come out on July 4th, which I'm super hyped about, and I'm probably going to binge all at once that midnight when it drops. But that's what was the big thing. It was such a big cultural phenomenon based on this series of books that aren't even finished yet. It just goes to show like how much people love these characters, love the world of Westeros that George R.R. Martin created. And it also showcases just the power of fantasy storytelling on a big scale and the power that television has over other storytelling mediums these days, because the thing with television is that it gives writers and directors a chance to stretch out the story, to develop these characters. So it's almost novelistic, and it is novelistic in a way, which makes sense. It's based on A Song of Ice and Fire books, which, by the way, that moment with Sam bringing out the book and where they read A Song of Ice and Fire. It's like that whole idea where people say the title of the movie, like Will Smith saying, "We're some kind of Suicide Squad," or something like that, where it's just like, okay.
When they say Independence Day on Independence Day.
I was waiting for them, like, that was a real Game of Thrones.
I would have clapped, actually, if that happened. I would have actually applauded, because
that was a real Game of
Thrones. Go all the way with that cringe, okay? If you're going to make me cringe,
go all
the way.
Well, they can't say that, because that's just one book. Then they would have to say,
they did say Game of Thrones in the first episode.
Well, I know, but...
It'll be like a crazy Game of Thrones.
When you play the Game of Thrones, you're waiting on your
job. No, but then John, when he was walking... Right. Into the north to become Night King.
I know, like, there was a very...
He looks back at the camera.
Become Night King.
Yeah, but then he looks back at the camera and then says, looks directly at him like, that was a Game of Thrones.
I mean, I kind of, image-wise or symbolically, I kind of like the idea that the first shot of the very first episode and the very last shot are kind of thematically consistent.
I was thinking the same thing.
I like that. I like that. Like, because it plays into the whole arc that they're trying to attempt to say of, like, the whole...
Yeah,
those
that's
whole circle.
The whole key of trying to attempt.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like the whole full circle thing. I guess
it
that's what they're trying to say.
What?
What, like somehow all the characters are going full circle, going back to where they started, and maybe they're doomed to repeat the same cycle over and over again. You know, like how history repeats itself.
And
that whole idea.
The Night King.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Like, what, it will repeat itself all over again for the spin-offs for Arya and Sansa and Jon. Like, there's not going to be spin-offs, probably, but it felt like that, didn't it? It felt like they were setting up spin-offs.
Oh, yeah. No, those are spin-off scenes.
Although, they're going to focus more on prequels, which will feature Naomi Watts. Thankfully, D&D won't be on there. They're going to be focused on whatever Star Wars trilogy they're going to create. But,
they're probably not going to get that, so...
Yeah, but, like, okay, so, that's the thing. Like, I still appreciate... Like, I will still value those first... I actually really loved season 6. I know it deviated away from the books.
And the last great episode was season 6, episode 10.
Yeah, like, the season finale of season 6.
I don't know, man.
I love that finale so much, because it just felt like...
Was that the blowing up of the step?
Yeah.
Or was that 9?
Was it?
Yeah, that was 10. That was the last episode.
Yeah, that was 10. Okay. 9 was
you know, Arya killing
I'm rewatching the series, so I'm on season 5 right now, so when the sparrows first get introduced,
right?
Oh my god,
I'm a little bit
that was
right,
I'm a little bit lost, so
that's the thing. But who would you say in terms of actors, who would you say were the MVPs of this season?
Lena Headey,
Emilia Clarke.
Emilia Clarke, Emilia did a great job selling that whole ordeal.
That team was honestly, like, as underdeveloped and terrible as
really
when she's on the, when she's on Dragoon and she's looking through her keep.
It's so
really
funny because
really
I've seen Emilia Clarke in non-Game of Thrones stuff, and I haven't been that impressed, but I love her on this show so much.
Dude, like, there was an interview where she said that when she read the final script, she just, like, wanderlessly aimed, like, London crying.
I mean, we've all seen that video of, like, numerous cast members basically being passive-aggressive to D&D.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Kit Harington was, like,
disappointed.
He was disappointed. And then Peter Dinklage, it felt like he had snipers on him when he was like, there are no better writers on TV than Dave Benioff.
Like, okay, I could tell, I could like, give it to, like, fans being disappointed. Like, that's one thing. But, like, when the actual people working on it don't like it,
dude,
like, come
even,
on,
even,
dude.
Yeah,
what's
like
so,
Colin Hill
great,
mentioned
great,
basically.
Grey Worm's actor and Gendry's actor. When they're like, oh, the what? Oh,
story.
Character development? Oh,
story.
Out,
what about and then Gendry's actor was like, I should stop talking. You know, he was basically, like, they were basically, like, subtly giving the finger to D&D there.
Yeah, I mean, like, come on, even when it's like.
Give it 2 years and actors will just talk about, I was disappointed.
Well,
they can't say it now.
You know who else's performance is really great? Was Sam's
when he finds
out that his father and brother get.
Everybody was
that's
doing
the thing.
Great.
There were great moments. There were great moments throughout the season where I was like, oh, that.
But that doesn't
great.
Make it redeemed.
That's
still
the issue.
Make
it's like. It's just. It feels very. Anticlimactic, I think, is a way to put it. And at least in our case, Jorge seemed to be okay with it. More power to you, Jorge.
I enjoyed it for what it was.
Okay.
I know that people said, oh, this is dumb, this is stupid. Well, you should ask questions.
Well, what do you say? No, what do you say when the even the actors hate working on it? Like, come on, like you can't. And,
they hated working on it. They just were disappointed. They were disappointed with what they had. Yeah. And I said it before, and I said it again. It wasn't the best season.
But everyone agrees, I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed the season. I enjoyed the way they took the series into how it ended.
I enjoyed it in the moment. It's one of those things where it's like I enjoy watching it in the moment, but when you reflect, for me, when I reflect on it, I'm like, man, I really wish they had more episodes or just go 10 episodes.
I see that. And I said that before. Right. I said it from different episodes. Like, I hated how they killed Rhaegar. Yeah. Rhaegar.
I hated how they fucking just send
the ghost to the north without fucking saying goodbye. I hated that they didn't kill enough people in episode 3.
Well, I think we're all pretty content that you seem satisfied with the way the season ended. Like, we're, like, in my case, in Ram's case, or in Maddie's case, we were pretty...
I can understand the event, occasional plot hole, because I've, like, looked over it from season 5 onwards.
Sure.
But, like, when every episode is just full of
Where's Daria? Like, where's Mira? Where are they?
Oh, Mira! Man, poor Mira. She got really...
I thought she died.
She just left.
After Bran was like, yeah, I don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
And then she never heard from him again.
Which is weird because he was like, oh, I'm not me anymore. And then he becomes king, you know?
No, because I was talking to somebody and someone was like, yeah, Mira died.
No, Mira did not die.
She just leaves.
But I was thinking about Daria. I'm like, who died?
She's not even mentioned ever again.
Daria?
Quaithe?
We were talking about Quaithe too. No Quaithe. Yeah. No, that dude in the beginning, in the very first
episode with Daenerys. So there was a conversation where it's like, the reason why maybe people hate it more is because, like, it's so close to, like, Endgame. And that was, like, kind of, like, similar.
A perfectly satisfying conclusion to a long, decade-long story, which is almost similar to this, almost eight to nine years.
But, like,
you know. You can't really compare it.
I mean, Endgame and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that's on the big screen. Yeah. That's a movie-based thing. And this is a television series and all. But the thing with the MCU is that it followed the television formula by releasing multiple movies a year, like their own episodes. And, like, the big Avengers movies, the crossover stuff, is, like, just like in the comics, it's when...
I could argue that TV shows have a better chance of, like, tying up, like...
Yeah.
Plot lines than movies do, but for some reason...
Yeah.
The Endgame did that way better.
Endgame had a lot of fan service, just like this one kind of did, but it made sense thematically with what they were trying to go for.
Yeah, what was the theme of this?
Everything goes full circle.
Nothing matters.
That's what I was thinking too. History repeats itself. I'm like, nobody. Who ended up happy in this? Who ended up with what they wanted? Like, Sansa. Really, Sansa. And that was who came up. Maybe Arya, I guess.
To an extent. John just kind of resigned himself, saying, you know what? Yeah, this is fine. Like, that's what John was basically at the end. He's like, yeah, I'll just deal with whatever I did. He'll probably meet some other woman along his journey and then repeat the same thing over and over again.
It's just, you know...
No, like, but that's consistent
all the sacrifices you made, all the effort you put into it.
R.R. Martin's books, though. He leaves them open-ended. He doesn't close... He doesn't have, like, a closing of them. They're open-ended, like, most of his books. Like, I read the Night of the Seven Kingdoms...
Which one is that?
The Night of the Seven Kingdoms, basically, Egg.
I don't think it's Duncan and Egg.
Their stories, and
he leaves them open ended.
He never closed the circle. So it's kind of like how this thing ended, basically, leaving open to other stories.
Okay. That's an interesting way to put it. So we're gonna wrap this up right now. So just to sum up our thoughts. This final season has definitely been mixed for majority of critics and audiences, given the big nature of the show, given how popular the show has become over the years as a cultural phenomenon on its own. I think it's worth saying that George R. R. Martin, whether he's like writing The Winds of Winter as we speak, if he is writing it at all.
He is.
And then he has that, what's the last book supposed to be?
The Dreams of Spring.
Dreams of Spring, yeah.
I'm curious to see if the endings that he had in those books are going to be similar to what we saw on screen, or he's just gonna...
He might change it.
He just changes it up just to satisfy fans who wished it was gonna be different from the series.
The big difference about the books is that the character development in the books is so deep, and there's so many other characters.
Yeah. That's the thing. I thought the character development for the first 4-5 seasons was deep.
Yeah, well, I know. I don't know why they couldn't do that.
Okay, so they... In order... Because there are so many more characters in the books than in the film. In right. The
they even alter some of the show. Characters' names on yes. the show because like, of the nature.
Yara like, yeah. Yara had, like, two sisters and, like, two other brothers.
Yeah.
Like,
Doesn't Rob's wife have a different name?
Yes, it's a different. It's totally different from the one in the show.
Yeah.
There's
and certain plot details are different, too. You know,
yeah. Man, there were so many other. There's so many other houses around. Like, it's crazy, but.
Yeah, of course.
But one of the thing is like, you, in order for them, like I already read some of the first chapters from Winds of Winter, and they're kind of the same style as the other ones. They just the story continues, and it's more Stannis being on the other side of the wall.
Yeah, sure.
You know, stuff like that, but.
Okay, so we're reaching an hour now. We're about to close this, but to sum it all up for all of us. It seems like in my case, in Ram's case, and in Maddie's case, we'd agree, like, we wanted so much more from this season, and we just felt very underwhelmed with where the writers took it.
I don't even know what if I wanted more, I just wanted good.
Something.
No, wanted good.
I wanted good, not like...
Would you guys agree that it should have just been 10 episodes?
Yeah.
The same thing last season. At the minimum, it should have been 10.
Yeah, it should have been 10.
It should have been 10 episodes, and maybe if you want to do
like,
one more...
Like, if we were talking about, like, really the only legitimate big mistake... It was going to 6 episodes.
Yep. Yeah. I think everyone can agree
like
on that.
Like, literally everyone, 100% of people would agree that 10 episodes would have been the bare minimum. And yet, these D&D did not want to do 10.
Well, we'll see if they will channel their creative energy into whatever Star Wars trilogy they have.
Nah, man. They could do it in 2 movies.
Weren't they going to do some, like...
Confederate.
Oh,
Confederate
thing? That's another can of worms.
That's why they messed up Game of Thrones, because the people hated it, their idea of their...
Well, it's a bad idea. I'm sorry.
But it wasn't even developed yet, and the people started shitting on it. That's what I hate, like... People just hear about it and are like, no, can't happen.
That's a whole other topic in terms of like the Age of Outrage or whatever. But here, okay, so to wrap this all up, Jorge, say your last piece in terms of why you think you felt okay with this last season. All
right, so this season for me was okay because the story ended the way it was meant to end, at least in my opinion. You know, it had an ending that was satisfying to an end. To a certain extent. Yeah, to a certain extent. But, I like most of the season, not all of it, but yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the whole series as a whole, and it was good.
Battle of the Bastards is still the best episode, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's still pretty. Yeah, it's still good.
I feel like season 1, episode 9, so many things happened.
With Ned, yeah.
With so much less...
So much emotion in that episode.
No, on budget. Such a less budget.
Yeah, but you felt the emotional aspect of it because of the emotional weight.
Ned beheading, Rob winning the
absolutely.
The Kingslayer capture, all that stuff.
Right. So we're gonna wrap this up now. I just wanted to thank all of you guys for participating. You guys are the very first guests on the Blank Green Canvas podcast.
Blank Green Canvas. I feel honored, man. I feel honored.
I don't get to say the last words. Maddie doesn't get to say the last words.
All right,
you guys already said last words.
Did we? Oh, I didn't realize that was the last
words. I'm just going to conclude by asking each of you, Ram, do you have anything to plug?
No, Maddie can go first.
Maddie, do you have anything to plug?
Plug. I thought it was like
this
plug. Last episode. I'm like, come on.
No, I have nothing to plug. I'm not really active on my social media.
Oh, I have something to plug.
Fair enough. Okay, Ram.
Go watch Breaking Bad, better show.
Shut the hell up.
Show that
it is a better show.
No, it's not.
Show that
it is not a better show.
It's the ghost.
Not
satisfying ending.
It's a good show. It's not
a
better
show.
A good message.
No, it is
had
a
unifying theme.
A
competent writers. Great actors.
Honestly,
great cinematography.
Amazing, amazing
I don't know, bro.
The
last season was kind of whack.
Are you kidding?
Be honest.
What the hell?
I thought the same thing.
The last season was kind of whack.
Honestly, mine, Dad. Oh my God.
I like the first season. I like the second season.
But now I'm starting to change my. I'm gonna have to rewatch it to change my really.
Breaking Bad. Go watch Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
I think I misread.
I waited for Game of Thrones to end to see if it would dethrone Breaking Bad.
And
guess what?
No,
did not.
Okay, but Ram, you also have a podcast of your own, obviously.
Yeah. Listen to Bad Advice.
No, you're
No, I'm just a Boys to Cry. Go to boystocry.com. It's a mental health podcast.
Mental health. All of you that are gonna you're gonna need some mental health.
Something. Honestly, I did mention like when I went to therapy like 2 weeks ago, I tell him like, yeah, Game of Thrones is really bugging me, but I don't wanna like spend the
Are you gonna
time.
Have a Game of Thrones themed episode?
Yeah, but like, but yeah, the message got kids. Nothing matters. Those are whole big convoluted, waste of time to end up saying nothing matters. You're never gonna grow as a person. So give up.
You have any social media you want to plug?
Twitter, Hypomatic Local, Instagram, Oversharing, without a G.
And Jorge?
Oh, I'm gonna be coming out with my new podcast, Loudest Bark, soon. It's a sports podcast for Fresno and Fresno sports. Ooh,
wonderful. Locally,
so,
right?
Yeah, local Fresno State and Fresno sports.
Looking forward to the football season?
It should be all up and running in the fall. I'm still tweaking the last few things of it. And it's called The Loudest Bark. It will be called The Loudest Bark.
That's a great
We'll be on Instagram and Twitter as the Loudest Bark.
As it's spelled. And do you want to plug in your own accounts on Instagram or Twitter?
Yeah.
Boom Artistic.
Boom Artistic. I'm done with that series of Boom Artistic pictures. But definitely check me out on my Twitter at J-Rod Collegiate.
All right. So that was the first episode of the Blank Green Canvas podcast. I'm Noah Villaverde, host of the Blank Green Canvas podcast, and you could tune in again next week when I discuss Aladdin. Thank you very much, and I'll be back with you next week.
Bye.